yesterday at 1 o'clock, I was digging fence with my son when Rich texted and said, "Hey, do you think you could switch Sundays with me? I'm not feeling well." And of course, my response is yes, because all gamers say yes. But see, when I was in the major leagues, I was a utility guy. Now, if you don't know what a utility guy is somebody who doesn't necessarily know his role for the day until he gets to the ballpark. Amen? And my utility role normally was to sit on the bench and enjoy watching all the really good players play. So I can remember we were playing someone, Atlanta, or I can't remember, Montreal, and I was sitting in the corner of the dugout, and my typical role would be I'd get to the ballpark, go through my hitting, do my job, and then I'd grab my Snickers bar, my coffee, and I'd go settle in to watch Buddy Bell and Dave Concepcion and all the guys play. And my worst nightmare was about the eighth inning, I would hear, "Rowden, grab a bat." Because now I had to go perform, amen? And I was getting nervous, and so quickly you rush to the bathroom and hope you have time before the inning starts. So that's exactly how I feel this morning. There's no pressure. Just so you're not worried, I did make it to the bathroom, so we'll go from there, all right? My message this morning is going to be, "Am I living by faith?" But I want to give you some background to that. I got saved when I was 15. My life was wonderful. I had great parents, and I have great parents. I had a great home. I did everything every kid would want to do in his life. But I knew something was missing. I knew I wasn't right. I knew I was a sinner, let's be honest. I had already hurt enough people in my life, mostly my parents, amen. I was so convicted when I read, "Children, obey your parents, for this is right in the Lord." I thought, oh man, that really messed up life. So all you teenagers, I'll just encourage you with that. But then I heard the gospel, and I couldn't help but respond. I don't know if you ever got it, but I got this like gnawing in my gut, and they were talking about what Christ did for me on the cross at Calvary and how he had paid for my sin debt. And the only thing I knew was that I had to believe that. I can't explain it. I can't tell you the rationale behind it, except deep in the fiber of my being, I knew the Bible was right. I knew that Jesus was really the answer. I knew that God was who I needed because I'd already made enough mistakes to know my life was not okay. And I thought it was going to be perfect. And it was for a little while. I was excited, and I would tell everybody at school about Jesus. That went over well. I had two problems. I was in the band, and I was a trumpet player, so nobody knew really where I aligned, but that was okay. And so, what's my point? My point is that I was very up and down in my Christian life. Maybe you can relate to that. I mean, sometimes I'd be on fire and preach the gospel like there was no tomorrow, and then other times, let's be honest, you could catch me where I didn't need to be, doing things I didn't need to do. And then God was merciful. He brought me Rose, my wife of 37 years. And we got married, and we both felt the same way. We were kind of struggling, like, we know we're saved, we know God's in us, but gosh, it just doesn't seem sometimes like we really know how to get a hold of the victory. How do we get this thing turned around so that we're really where we need to be for the Lord? Maybe you understand that. I hope you do this more. I hope you can relate to that sense internally. And so we got on our knees, and I remember we prayed and said, "Lord, I know you're my God. I know that I'll go to heaven if you called me today, but I'm not where I want to be. I'm not in the place I want to be. I want to make an impact with you. I want to glorify you. I don't know what that looks like, but whatever's missing, would you give it to me?" So 1 week later, we're in Baltimore. My first ever break with spring training. 30 days later, Rose miscarried with our first child, and I got demoted to AAA. I remember Rose was in the bathroom and she just kind of said, I lost the baby. And I remember at that time, I didn't know what else to do. And it was the first time in my life I think I really understood what surrender meant. I remember not even being angry. I just remember falling on my knees by my bed and telling him that he was worthy and he was honorable and he was good and he was allowed to do whatever he wanted to with me. Well, we went down to Rochester, New York, AAA. So I'm sitting in my locker and in walks this nondescript guy. I know that sounds mean, but, and he was our chapel leader. All the teams in baseball have chapel. So I'm sitting in my locker and he walks up to me and he's like, hey, brother, good to have you. So good to have another Christian. Now, you have to understand what good to have you means to a guy who just took a $70,000 pay cut. Right? It wasn't where I wanted to be, amen. And then he said this. He said, hey, we're having a Bible study at the house. We're going to have a ribeye and a Bible study. Now, if you're in the minors, it's the ribeye. Not the Bible study, it's the ribeye. Okay? No baseball player says no to a ribeye. And when we got there, for the first time in my life, I heard someone open the Bible and answer all my questions from God's Word. And in one moment, I knew what I didn't have in my life was a genuine understanding and knowledge of the Word of God. See, I was saved. But if you're saved and you don't know God's opinion on things, if you don't know where God's at on things, you're going to operate on your feelings and you're going to operate on kind of how the wind is blowing. The Bible talks about being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. And that was kind of our life. It wasn't that we didn't love the Lord. It wasn't that we weren't fired up for Jesus. It was just we didn't know what to do with it. And more importantly, I didn't know the framework that God wanted it done in. And there is a framework, amen, that God expects us to operate in. Why? Because it's His word, it's His life, it's His calling, and it's His glory, not ours. And He's not really interested in our opinions. What He's interested in is our obedience. God said in Deuteronomy chapter 4 to the nation of Israel, He said, your wisdom is your obedience. Implying what? I already figured it out. I just need you to be smart enough to do what I ask you to do. Amen. But that's hard to do, isn't it, if we don't really know what God wants us to do? So when we say we live by faith, what real faith is your ability to not even get locked in on the word as much as you're locked in on the character of God and that He deserves your obedience to do what He asks you to do. That's what faith is. You see, we're not putting our trust. In fact, we'll go ahead and dive in on the message if you would. If you would, turn to Titus chapter 2 in your Bible. That's the first spot. Now, I apologize. If you want to grab a Bible, please do. I felt so bad yesterday. Rich says to me, Wade, do you have any verses for the screen? I'm thinking, I don't even have the message. Let alone do I have any verses for the screen. So I apologize. I'm a little old-fashioned. You can see my college notebook. It's all handwritten. I hope I can read my writing for you. But if you would, turn to Titus chapter 2, and the Bible says this. Titus chapter 1. My bad. Titus chapter 1. So here's the first point today. Am I living by faith? The first point is this. Decisions are made on the basis of the Word of God. Why? The just live by faith. But Romans 10 verse 17 says, faith cometh by what? Hearing, and hearing by? So you cannot have faith without God's Word. It's not possible to have spiritual life and faith without the Word of God. But why would I want to believe the Word? Well, because of the character of the Lord. Look at Titus chapter 1 and verse 1. It says, Paul, a servant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, And the acknowledging of the what? Yeah, the truth, which is after godliness. And look what it says. In hope of eternal life. Which God, and I love this phrase, this one changed my life. That what? I want you to say that again. That what? Yeah, do you understand? I lie. You lie. We lie every day. How's your dress? Oh, it's beautiful, babe. Hey, honey, how's the working out going? Oh, you look so much better, sweetheart. That's Rose to me, of course, not me to Rose. Right, let's be honest. We think if we couch it a little bit, if we think if we smooth it over a little bit, it won't be so offensive. Why? Because we're worried about offending someone more than we're worried about being honest and allowing the Holy Spirit to have control of our lives. But you have a God who can't do that. He can't lie. He can't look at you and go, you know, I know things aren't going well, but you're really okay. No, he can't do that. You know what he said? He said, Wade, there is none righteous, no, not one, and you're one of the none righteous. And you're not going to make it. In fact, if you go on your current path and you don't get saved, you're going to end up in hell. That's what's going to happen. We're going to be separated, and you're going to be in eternal torment for all of your life. And by the way, your life will be eternal in one place or the other. It's either going to be with the Lord or it's going to be in hell. Because every soul lives forever. Can I just tell you, I don't know where you are. If you're saved this morning, you'll understand this. Isn't it a glorious day when you look in the mirror and go, wow, I'm really not that good. Like, all the pressure's off. Like, I don't have to live up to anything more. God just gave me a complete write-off. Wade, you are inadequate. Right? But what's the blessing? That God cannot lie and that he promised it before the world began. I want you to just let that soak for a minute. You have a God that cannot, it's not even possible for him to lie to you. So when he says that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man cometh to the Father or woman but by him, he can't lie. It's going to be Jesus or it's going to be no way, because he can't lie. When he says that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin, it's the way it is. You're going to have to believe in the sacrificial offering of Christ on the cross as payment for your sin. There's no other way. That he was born of a virgin, that he lived a sinless life, even though we can't comprehend that. And all the factors that go into him being an acceptable offering. Why? Because God cannot lie. Isn't that a blessing, though? Doesn't that set you free? You know why? Because what I figured out in my life was wrong was Wade didn't have a final authority. I was it. Well, I love her. As if that justifies something. I love her, but I'm not going to do what God's asked me to do about it. Well, it's okay. It's not really hurting anyone. Sin always hurts everyone. And so my point is just to say this, that when I finally started hearing God's word and I started letting it soak over my soul and my being, I realized, oh my goodness, I can have a final authority. There is actually a place I can go and you can give me all of the information I need and I don't have to think about it. I just have to decide to believe it and obey it. Can I tell you how freeing that is? I don't know about you, but don't you get tired of trying to have to figure it out? It's exhausting, amen. Let's go to another passage. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. They told me I have 30 minutes. You realize that's impossible for me to do. But I'm going to try. 2 Timothy chapter 3, if you'd look at verse 16 with me. The Bible says this, we know it very well, but it says this, all scripture is given by what? Yeah, inspiration of God, meaning what? The one who cannot lie is responsible for every word that you hold in your book. And the Bible says, and is profitable for doctrine, that is, profitable for what is right. It's profitable for reproof, that is, for what is not right. It's profitable for correction, that is, how to get it right. And it's profitable for instruction in righteousness, and that's how to stay right. And the Bible says, well, why did God do that for you and I? That the man or woman of God might be perfect, complete, enabled, not lacking, and thoroughly furnished. That is what? That you have all that you need to do what the Scripture says. To be unto all good works, that you might glorify the Lord. You see, my problem a lot of times was that I would not know what God wanted me to do, so I would do what I thought was right or what felt right. Do you understand the difference? And what would happen is I'd get in the Bible and find out, oh, I was wrong on that. That's why God couldn't bless that. Because it wasn't in agreement with his word. Amen? If you would go to Romans, Romans chapter 10. Let's look at it, and then I'm going to cover a couple things. Romans 10, I want you to just see the verse. Thank you for bearing with me on the page turning. Romans chapter 10. Let's look together, if you would, at verse 17. So that you don't, because my wife knows I always misquote things. How many of you can know the song, but you never remember the lyrics? Anybody have that problem? Yeah, I start singing, my wife goes, wait, that's not it. So anyway, but that's why you get married, because she can't do the song. I can do the song, but she does the lyrics. So then it works out, okay? So verse 17, so then faith cometh by what? Hearing. Now, I want you to think about this for a second. The Bible says in Proverbs, all wisdom cometh from the mouth of the Lord. So when you're reading your Bible, not just when you're listening to somebody talk about the Bible, but when you're reading your Bible, guess who's really speaking to you? The Lord. And so the Bible tells us faith comes by hearing. That is, when you get into the Word of God, you're hearing the voice of God. And then the Bible says, and hearing comes by the Word of God. So there's a direct connection to my being in the Word and how much faith I'm going to have. In fact, let's look at how that really works. Go to Ephesians 1, Ephesians chapter 1. Let's look at verse 12. That we should be to the praise of his glory who first what? Trusted in Christ. Now watch what the how this unfolds. In whom ye also trusted, and the next word is very important, after that ye heard what? The word of truth. That is the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit promise. You see, the Bible says that you made a decision for Jesus Christ after you heard the Word of God preached. Why? Because faith is required. It is impossible to please God without it, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. You have to believe that he is. You have to believe that he rewards those that diligently seek him according to the scripture. But here's what's important. You can be walking around thinking there's a God. You can be walking around wondering if there's a God. But the bottom line is you're not going to make the connection to who the real God is until the gospel of Jesus Christ is preached unto you, that it's Jesus Christ who paid for your sin and wants to give you everlasting life and a personal relationship with him. And so until you hear that, you in essence are walking in darkness. You may have all the desire in the world. You might think it's by good works. You might think any number of things. But until you hear the gospel and realize there's one way unto the God, you are not in a position to make the proper decision so that you can be in the place that you really desire to be. How did I get there? I had to hear the word. Aren't you grateful today for the person who shared the word of God with you? Where would you be without that? Go to 1 Peter chapter 1 to the right, where Pastor Dan was just a few weeks ago. 1 Peter chapter 1. Look with me, if you would, at verse 21. Verse 21 says, "Who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead." Oh, I'm sorry, same verse, my bad. "Seeing ye have purified your souls in" what? Yeah, obeying the truth. Your soul was purified by obeying the word. How? "God washed me in the precious blood of Jesus Christ and imparted unto me righteousness." Amen? Sorry, I got my page turned here. The Bible says, obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. "See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently." Now watch. "Being born again, not of a corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, that is, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh," that's you and me, "is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which was preached unto you," the gospel. You realize you hold in your hand eternal. This isn't going to pass, folks. This is eternal. John chapter 1, verse 1. "The word was in the beginning. And the word was God. And the word was with God." It's existed from the very beginning. Because here's the thing. When you obey the word, you obey Jesus Christ. Because he is the word. You see, the Bible is our instruction book, but really what it kind of boils down to, doesn't it, is, do I really love Jesus enough to do the word? I'll give you a good example. I didn't realize this until I started looking into it, but, you know, salvation, God does something for you. But when God talks to us about being his disciples, he oftentimes puts if ye love me, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. He gives you the choice. Like, for example, Rose, if you love me, you will make macaroni and cheese. The one I hate is, if ye love me, honey, you'll paint the bedroom. Amen? So the point is that we hold in our hands an eternal word. This isn't something that's going to pass away. Rather, the Bible says that we're to be judged by it. The eternal word of God. The Bible says in Psalm 119:89, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Hallelujah today. It's so nice to have something that you can stand on and believe in. And put your hope and your trust and your faith in, and never have to wonder if it's the real deal. Go point two now, if you would go to Romans 4, is this. You guys are thinking, whoa, point two, he's got 10 minutes, 5 minutes. How is this going to happen? I don't know. Romans chapter 4. The second point is this. Faith seeks to glorify God. Faith seeks to glorify God. I don't know how you are or how you think. I'm kind of a process guy. That's why I love the Bible. The Bible sort of like gives you processes, how to get things done. But one of the things I really struggle with is how do I glorify God? Have you ever wondered about it like that? Like really, how is God glorified by my life? What could I possibly do that would glorify the Lord? I'll give you an example. I can remember, this is how athletes think. Like I would think, oh, if I just hit 330 this year with 30 home runs and 100 RBIs, God will be glorified. Now, remember, every guy prays for his team to win, forgetting there's Christians on the other side, but we're pretty sure God does show favorites, so we always believe our prayer wins, right? What's my point to that? My point to that is we come up with our own perceptions sometimes of how God is glorified or how God is lifted up or how God is magnified. We kind of have this thing that if I get it all right and if it's all the way God needs it to be, then God will be glorified and then people will fall down and worship him and I'll see people come to Jesus Christ. The only problem with that is it doesn't work. Because you've been perfect and you told them about Jesus and they still got mad and they were offended. So the Bible says in Romans chapter 4, look with me at verse 19, it says this, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. I want to say something about faith. Faith will require you and I to not consider yourself anymore. You need to stop thinking about, I need to stop thinking about my abilities and what God can do and what God can't do with me. But what I need to realize is God can do whatever God wants to do. My problem is I consider me way too much. You see, one of the things that made Abraham so special is when God promised him Isaac, he said, well, yeah, I'm 100, but let's go for it. I'm not going to consider that I'm dead and that my body's not alive. I'm not going to consider that my wife isn't have a womb and there's nothing going on. I mean, she had a womb, but I guess she didn't have all the things that go with that. Right? But you understand where I'm coming from. And so the Bible says that he didn't consider that at all. Look what it goes further. He said, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. And I love this. Watch. He staggered not at the promise of God, through the next word, unbelief. Unbelief. But was strong in faith, giving glory to God. I want to say this morning. Hebrews chapter 4 said that Israel couldn't enter into the promised land. They couldn't get rest. You know why? Unbelief. See, they were worried about giants, and they were worried about the enemy, and they were worried about the wars, and they were worried about all the things that come with. See, and the problem we make is that Canaan is not heaven. Canaan is entering into the victorious Christian life. That's what the whole book of Joshua is about. Israel getting victory. Why? Obeying the word of God and winning the battles as God set forth. The parallel book is Ephesians. And so we have this problem. Because the problem is unbelief prohibits God from working. Even Jesus said, oh, I could only do a few little things because of your unbelief. The Bible says he upbraided the disciples for not believing when they were told that he had risen from the dead and that he was alive. It says he upbraided them for their unbelief. In fact, God goes so far to say that unbelief is of an evil heart. Wow. I don't know about you, that one hurt. And so the Bible says in about our friend Abraham, it says, and then verse 21, look what it says, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able to perform. See, we're not back to the word now, we're back to the character of God. You see, it didn't matter what God asked him to do. If God had said, stand on your head for 14 days, Abraham would have believed that God would have enabled him to do that. I really believe that. See, that's the point of following the word. It's not about you following the word like you're going to do something for God. It's about you believing in the character of God so much and trusting him so much that you know for a fact that what he says and what he has asked you to do, he is more than able to accomplish it, and he will bring it to pass. Amen. And that's where I failed. My faith sometimes was in my ability to keep something I read. Or, gosh, I wonder if that's really true. I wonder if that'll work out. Really? I have to be, like, kind-hearted? You mean if I love my enemy, you'll do something special that I can't see? See, that requires me to trust in the character of the Lord, not in my own ability to do that. Amen. Look what it says in verse 22, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. I don't have time for it, but I want to say this. Faith is not in a hurry. It's willing to wait. Faith is not in a hurry. It takes time for God to get done what God needs to do. I do want to finish here, Hebrews chapter 11. As you know, we call Hebrews 11 the roll call of faith. The thing that stands out to me as I read through the entire roll call is everybody had something that they had to overcome. In fact, no one had a situation where it was going to be easy. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8 was the verse the Lord gave me before I walked into Crossroads. One of the most dark times in our life as a family, and God brought me here. And the Bible says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, what's the next word? Obeyed. Now watch, and he went out not knowing whither he went. I had no idea what God had for me here. I had no idea what a blessing this church was going to be in the family of God and the friends and the relationships that I have. You have no idea what it means to look out and see a sea of faces that I know that have served together with our Savior. And God used you in this place to heal our hearts and our souls through a time that we were hurting. But we didn't know where we were going. And what I want to say to you today is this. Faith obeys in spite of circumstances or consequences, and it is not afraid of what others may say or do to you. Amen. Why? Because my God's bigger than that. The Bible says in Peter that of our Savior, it says that when he was maligned and when he was spoken ill of and when he was treated improperly, the Bible says that he committed himself to him that judges righteously. See, our problem is we want justice. We want God to do it right now on our behalf because we're hurting and it's not fair and it's not okay. And the answer to that problem is wrong call. Hand it over to the one that judges righteously. You know how that came out? He raised Jesus from the dead and made him our Savior. See, my job, I finally realized it, is the same job that Rose gave me. Obey. Don't you like how they're taking all those out of the all the new wedding vows? I can't find obey. Like, that's a bad word, right? Listen, the bottom line is this. The Bible says the just live by faith. And if I were honest with you, sometimes I think God's word is a suggestion. I'm too lenient with Wade. I'm too easy on Wade. Can I do it in my own strength? Absolutely not. It's impossible. But can I do it if I will turn my heart to the one who gave himself for me because I genuinely love him? Will I let love inside of me towards him motivate me and then let the Holy Spirit of God do his work in me? Amen, hallelujah, and we'll have a good shouting party when we all get home to glory, amen. I don't know where you're at this morning. Maybe you've been struggling with committing to the Lord. Maybe you've been struggling in your walk with the Lord. I don't have any answers to that. Except I know that for you and for me, the Word of God and faith in the one who has impeccable character is all you need. Let's go to prayer.